All right, well, thank you for joining us. This is the Fats, Fuels, and Oils forecast for the week of March 15th. Today, we have Ryan Standard with us. He's going to go into the low CI section of the site, talking a lot more here about choice white grease. And with that, Ryan, I'll pass it to you and also to the audience. If you have questions, drop them in the Q&A. We'll get to them at the end of Ryan's presentation. To you, Ryan.
Thanks, George. Yeah, so choice white grease is a focus this week. And like everything else in the animal fats market, same thing with DCO, UCO, looking at higher prices here in the short term and kind of the moderately long term as well. So here, I'm just kind of adjusting this. You can see we got prices, we're forecasting them to continue to increase into May with a little bit of relief seen here in June, some lower prices. So what's driving the market at the moment? It's really a lack of, if you read the daily commentary, I feel like I'm saying the same thing every day. It's a lack of lower priced alternatives for feed buyers and for biodiesel as well. And the competition for resources is heating up. Credit prices are higher. You know, RINs are around $1.50. You have a dollar per gallon tax credit. And then you have that California LCFS credit market that continues to hover around $200, maybe a little bit lower. And that's, giving the renewable sector a lot of buying power. And I know there may be some biodiesel players out there screaming at the screen. Biodiesel producers and some of the renewable diesel producers don't realize that full credit capture. They have to split it up, divvy it up to kind of keep that fuel moving. They've been struggling for a lot of the year. But my point is that there's more buying power out there. Soybean oil prices are higher. Competition's heating up and people are paying higher prices because there's nowhere else to go. We are expecting to continue to see that trend, through May. A lot of this is led by the soybean oil market as well. There is the expectation for some downward pressure there, and that's twofold, maybe some weakness in the soybean oil market, but we typically see hog slaughter pick up that during that time of year as well. And that should offer some price relief to the buyers. Here you see the weekly data or monthly data. Actually, let's go into there. We're predicting slaughter to drop into April, same thing into May. And again, that's just going to tighten up the market. So you have, steady to more buyers going after steady to less, less choice white grease out there. Prices are going to come up naturally. I've got a lot of questions over the last couple of days about choice white grease trading into Chicago or through Chicago at 53.5 cents. It was an 8.5 cent jump, just huge for that market. But that market had been quiet for quite some time. It hadn't kept pace with the Missouri River market. And buyers were willing to pay up to get rail delivery shipments, through that Chicago rail corridor into their facilities. I don't think we're going to see another 8.5 cent jump moving forward. But those prices are definitely very strong. And it's all driven by a renewable sector. In the commentary, I mentioned this as well. I think we'll start to see a drag on prices. So that rate of increase will start to slow down a little bit as feed buyers use less material. Choice white prices have blown through that 400% of the price relative price to corn. And once that happens, you start to see feed more corn into their hog rations and less grease. And with that said, there are minimum inclusion rates, which drive like carcass quality. So you want a certain amount of saturated fat in diets to maintain fat distribution, marbling, particularly when it comes to bacon and bellies. You want harder, like firm bacon. It just has a better consumer appeal. And, as I always say, meat packers are in the business of making meat. They're not in the business of making choice white grease. That's the secondary revenue stream for them. So meat's always going to be the primary focus, and there's going to be a minimum inclusion in that. But again, with that said, there may be some reductions in feed rations moving forward as buyers start to feed more corn in. And that covers it. Now it's quick for the choice white grease market. I'm happy to take any questions on tallow. We covered that last week, or use cooking oil, distillers corn oil, anything that anybody may have out there.
All right, Ryan, that was a little faster than I was imagining, but that was pretty quick. All right, so the first question that we have is, So it's basically renewable diesel producers setting these higher prices. I guess only renewable diesel producers selling in California are the only ones who can afford paying those higher prices, correct?
No, that not renewable diesel. It's the renewable industry as a whole. So biodiesel and biodiesel that may not even be going into California can pay these prices. I looked at it this morning, and again, biodiesel plants don't realize the full credit value. A lot of times they have to split it up to get that fuel moving. But just on a RIN and blender's tax credit basis, the value is around 40 to 43 cents per pound of feedstock used. That's credits transferred, like broken down by gallons. And so that gives you a tremendous amount of buying power. You add in the California credits, and it's well above that. I mean, it's like $1,400 to $1,480 per metric ton of credits on that fuel. Certainly renewable diesel is a driver, but it's more demand from the biofuel sector, and then scarcity is a big part of that as well. If soybean oil was 40 cents, we wouldn't have choice white grease trading at 53.5 cents. South American weather, tight, you know, a strong futures market and tightness in the cash market on soybean oil are all driving the choice white grease and the animal fat prices higher. And the same thing with production. We wouldn't see prices as high if we had summer level hog slaughter. Same thing with cattle slaughter. And one more comment too is that the interruptions from the winter storm really catalyzed this increase, because it really tightened things up at a time where demand was so strong.
Okay. Could you discuss the outlook for ethanol production and DCO?
Short term, we have it fairly flat, but I think going into the summer months, we're going to see a pickup as gasoline demand increases. We see more vaccination rollout. People are free to travel and maybe, you know, comfortable to travel a little bit more. Gasoline demand is expected to increase, and with it, so is ethanol demand. And that should boost the distiller's corn oil production and maybe soften some of the price acceleration that we've seen in that market as well. A lot of that is tied to renewable diesel demand and new renewable diesel demand in that market, but it's also tied to soybean oil. Like I said, there's just nowhere for buyers to run to that's lower priced at the moment. That soybean oil sets that ceiling, and everything else kind of falls in line underneath of it. Something else to mention too is I think Reuters had a story last week about a big shipment of ethanol into China. So if there's renewed, you know, trade or improved trade with China, we start to see more ethanol flow over there, because corn's expensive, so they're going to buy it from the U.S. rather than buy corn and make it themselves. That's also going to improve ethanol demand. So the short answer is expect more supply to start to come online in those summer months, kind of where you're seeing that choice white grease downturn as well.
Okay. How long can choice white grease trade at a premium to lard?
I think... It's a good question. I think you'll see lard prices pick up here in the next, if not this week, by early next week. And that's just a function of the higher prices for choice white grease. Sellers are going to put that lard in the car and sell this choice white grease if buyers are paying 53.5 cents Chicago versus, I think, the last quoted level was in the 40s on lard. So, yeah, that's not a sustainable thing. And frankly, I should say that I don't know that 53.5 cents Chicago is sustainable in the long run. We might start to see high prices cure high prices at this level. But with that said, it's there right now.
Along those lines, how can feed guys pay for these numbers, these high numbers for choice white grease?
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to continue to. Again, like I said, there's some carcass quality. They want to keep saturated fat in that diet to ensure the bellies are the way that consumers and customers demand when they're buying bacon at the grocery store. But I think you're going to see more corn come in, and prices for some of these products are going to have to go up as well. So, you know, it gets absorbed by the consumers.
Okay. And do you anticipate any tightness in the market from increased demand for offal out of China?
Yeah. We've seen that in the past, production disruptions, as China has taken more raw material out of the rendering stream. With ASF continuing to disrupt their meat supply, that's certainly a risk for higher prices. That could disrupt the forecast for lower prices this summer if we see China start to pick up pick up their demand for offal, and more raw material starts to ship over there as they fill that protein shortage left by ASF. So there's certainly a risk for higher prices tied to that happening.
Okay. Ryan, we do not have any more questions from the audience. So thank you for answering them. Audience, thanks for hanging in there and sending your questions over to us. And next week, we'll have Tori online to talk about veg oils next week. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Ryan.
Thank you. Have a good week, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.